Let's be still as we prepare to worship God. And the words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full honour and majesty is God's work. We're going to join together to sing In Christ Alone, and those of you with a sharp musical ear will hear that Nigel is one of the people leading us in singing this day. So let's join to sing In Christ Alone. Yes, I agree with those who said it in the chat function. Yeah, the pictures were lovely. So if you are on your walking, taking pictures, why don't you send them to Martin and we can use them for our opening reflection as we gather to worship. Now, I know, because I'm not from Mars, that this is a difficult time for lots of us. But what would you thank God for? On this day, what would you thank God for? So would you like to use the chat function and chat to everyone and tell us what you would thank God for? And then I'll weave some of that into into a prayer. So what would you be thankful for on this day? I know it's tough. I'm not being flim-flam or superficial about it, but what would you be thankful for? So let us pray. Loving God, holy and majestic, what an impression faith in you has made on our lives. You are God of all wisdom. You are the source of all authority in heaven and earth. We gather to worship. We give you thanks for photographs, for those who share them, for the electronic media that has made this possible, for music and for musicians, for the beauty of nature. We thank you. We thank you for peace and calm. Lord, we are thankful for freedom, for compassion, for our health. For friends, for kindness. For the pictures of the sunrise. For the countryside, for clean water. We are thankful. We are thankful for the vaccination program. We are thankful that you are with us. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our church family. We're thankful that we're warm. Thank you for life, for being alive and being healthy. Thank you for animals. Thank you that today it's not raining. Thank you for everything. Thank you for Zoom. Thank you for laughter and the joy of children. Thank you that we live in a democratic country. Thank you for colleagues. Thank you for snowdrops and primroses, for birds that sing in the garden. Thank you for this time to understand ourselves more deeply. Thank you for those working in the hospitals. Thank you for the breath. Thank you for hope. We know that we are richly blessed. Forgive us that so often we focus on what we do not have, and we don't take the time to be thankful. Forgive us that we ignore the abundance of your riches to us. Thank you for all your gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to lead us?
Good morning. Everybody wave. Yes, you're alive. Good. I want to ask you this morning, how have you received your news and information this week, not necessarily just the national news, but just news and information. Can you just type in the chat function? It might be social media of some form, it might be the radio, the newspaper, family, friends. Have you received your information? So I'm just gonna have to open up my chat. Coming thick and fast. Email, newspaper online, social media, TV, WhatsApp, Skype, YouTube.
And that, brothers and sisters, is why we need better broadband in the building. What about the big stuff? And sometimes the flim-flam that is the stuff that comes in our phone. Suddenly, if your phone, if you have forgotten to put your phone on silent and it goes, then easily, in fact, you'd have to have the determination of a, I don't know what, to keep yourself away from having a wee quick look when we're gathering to spend time communing with the Almighty God. And these, all these medium, all this news that keeps coming in can easily distract us from the big truths that we know.
Sounded like Leslie was doing a great introduction to the theme. I was coming at it from a slightly different tack. I wanted you to think about how, blooming heck, Beth. Yeah, definitely. I wanted you to think about how you would rate the accuracy and the authority of those things. 1 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 10 out of 10. How do we rate the accuracy? How much do we trust those sources of information? And if you do trust those sources of information, what is it that gives you that sense of trust in the authority of what's being said? In today's story, we're thinking about God-given authority as seen in Jesus, but also in the prophets as well, and how much authority Jesus had. It even says in the Bible that people could see that he had a different kind of authority to the religious leaders even. And that's because I think power and authority are not always the same thing. You can have power but not have authority. And likewise, there are lots of people who have authority who could speak great wisdom into our lives, but they are powerless. And I just think the great thing about Jesus is that he has both the power and the authority. So we can feel safe and secure in trusting him and in submitting to him, finding out what he wants us to do and be in his word and just going with it, because he has power and he has authority. And yes, Beth, it is the right kind of power. It's a power that is linked very much with love. So that was my message to you today, which I'm glad I eventually got to say to you. I don't know if Leslie has come back.
Yes, I have.
Hurrah!
That was just crazy. And I hope Martin's heart has stopped thumping.
Yeah.
Well, not stopped thumping, but, you know. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sally. I took your words in a different way. I took your introduction and went off, and then I froze myself. Ho-hum. Isn't life great? So we have two readings that we would share. The first, which Camillo will read to us, is from Deuteronomy. The speaker in this passage in Deuteronomy is Moses, presented as his parting speech to the people. And here Moses anticipates that there will be the gift of another prophet like him, and recalls how the people were fearful when God showed God's self in Sinai, and reassures that this new prophet will be able to approach God fearlessly. And then Brenda will read to us from Mark. Mark has described how Jesus drew this team together and sets about his active ministry in a very traditional way, goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath and teaches, but there's something different about his teaching. So let us listen together for the word of God. Camilo, you're muted. Beautiful.
Hi. The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 18 verses 15 to 20. Although these nations that you are about to dispose do give heed to soothsayers and diviners, as for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what the request of the Lord your God from Hebron on the day of the assembly, when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or even again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they say. This they have said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. End of the reading. Thanks be to God.
This is a reading from Mark 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus and his disciples came to the town of Capernaum, and on the next Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people who heard him were amazed at the way he taught, for he wasn't like the teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. Just then, a man with an evil spirit came into the synagogue and screamed, "What do you want of us, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you here to destroy us? I know who you are. You are God's holy messenger." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Be quiet and come out of the man." The evil spirit shook the man hard and gave a loud scream and came out of him. The people were all so amazed that they started saying to one another, "What is this? Is it some kind of new teaching? This man has authority to give orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him." And so the news about Jesus spread quickly everywhere in the province of Galilee. Amen.
Warm greetings to you. Thank you for coming in and being part of our worship on this day. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. And the texts that I am preaching from is Deuteronomy 18 verses 14 to 20 and Mark chapter 1 verses 21 to 28. Please read these texts first and then come back in. And my title, The Demons. Wouldn't life be great if all you had to do was speak wise stuff and then you could do whatever you liked? Jesus starts his ministry in a very traditional way. He goes to the synagogue and he preaches in the rabbinical tradition. What makes him different is how he does it. He does not do what the scribes and I would do, which is look at what others have said and then repeat it. The scribes offer a range of opinions, but Jesus speaks from personal authority, which would have made his exposition of the scriptures very different, the voice of his own authority. It would have been shocking to those who are used to a text being dissected. Jesus speaks differently. But more, he does things differently too. He starts his ministry preaching and then he moves into action. He battles with this spirit. And the text says, we might label this whole story differently, but he, in this text, is battling with a demon. He focuses on the individual and their healing, and his first instruction to the demons, be quiet. Why? Well, the answer comes from Genesis, where the one who names the creatures is the one at the top of the tree, as opposed to those who are named. Adam names the creatures. The namer has the power. If the demons name Jesus, they will have power over him. The demons shout, have you come to destroy us? Is that the demons speaking? Or are they speaking on behalf of the scribes? Those who have an established religion that they must possess and protect at all costs. The answer to the demon's question is yes, he has come to destroy them. So what about these demons? What are they? And what do we need to do about them? They are the dark forces that live in all of us. All of us. In our national lives, in our church lives, in our individual lives. And the naming of them makes it explicit that they exist. It's been one of the interesting features of the whole series of lockdowns, the amount of conversation that there has been around domestic violence. Good, it's out in the open. Of course, it would be better if we could do something about the two women who die every week at the hands of their partners or ex-partners, but the conversation is surely a useful thing. There are those things that we don't talk about in polite society. Our ageism, our sexism, our racism, our social prejudices, our intellectual snobbery, the bullying behaviour that goes on in churches, the list is long. These are demons among us. But they are less powerful if we acknowledge them and if we name them. If we pull them out of the shadows and say who and what they are. Secondly, we need to pray as Jesus did in Mark 9:29. The demons are not easily removed. We are in a battle with them. What do we mean by praying? Praying, I think, is one of those things that loads of people don't actually know what it is. We're not talking about the Sunday morning act where somebody speaks and all you do is try and keep your brain on what they're saying. It's not something designed to put us at our ease. To quote someone called Ched Myers, it is that intensely personal struggle within each disciple and among us collectively to resist the despair and distractions that cause us to practice unbelief, to abandon or avoid the way of Jesus. In other words, it's the struggle to believe that change can really happen, a better world is possible, and that we can be a part of it. What does hope look like in a time like this? We need to ensure that we are not people jumping on every cheery bandwagon that goes by, because that's what they do. They go past, they go by. There is a vaccine coming. There is a certain section of the population who will be protected from the virus. However, what does that mean to all the rest of us? How long will it last? What health implications will it have for others? We don't know. But the science is clear about us keeping ourselves away from each other, washing our hands with soap and water, wearing our masks to minimise the spread of the disease. But do we allow the demon of COVID-19 to shape who we are? There are things that human beings need. We needed them before this and we need them now. Let's do it. That's not to say it's easy, but we need to remember the whys, not the what. We need each other. We need to have a purpose. We need to know that we are not alone. How we reach out is irrelevant. That we do is essential. More and more we're hearing about people dying or becoming ill or losing confidence, losing health, particularly mental health, and raging because of a loss of perspective as a side effect of them locking themselves away in this season. These are the demons of this time. Let's name them and let's fight them too. They are real. They are as real as COVID is real, but we have the tools to fight them together. What about the future? What will that look like? How do we know? The whole of Deuteronomy is painted as Moses' last speech to the people. He is close to death. Who will take over? How will the future be preserved? And the answer is a very dull but very important one. It is through institutions. Those who will keep the wheel turning as certain individuals come and go. The Israelites have their institution of priests, and God is now setting up an institution of the prophet who will be countercultural, who will speak a word that will challenge. The practices of the Canaanites around the Israelites, many of these practices have been adopted by the Israelites. And these are shocking. Child sacrifice, divination, soothsaying, augury, consulting spirits and seeking oracles. We know, as Moses told the people, that it's not our role to know the future. That is God's. Our job is to change our focus, to keep our eyes on God, and that requires effort. To support the institutions of the church, the civil service, the health service, the government, which is not the same as agreeing with every bit of nonsense that any current post holder comes out with. But it is to say, these are people who make mistakes, and our job is to support and challenge and not to undermine, to build up rather than to seek to destroy. What God needs at this time, what the world needs at this time, is people who are looking beyond their fear, beyond the fear of the immediate catastrophe. The problem is that many do not know that you need to put in effort to listen to God. Our call is to speak God's word and to rest in God's hope and love. It's not about shrieking like demons. It's about presenting a different view, a kinder, more long-term view, a view that recognises the pain of others and sits with them in it, rather than tidying it up and implying that it doesn't matter. Our call is to be a healing presence. What does that look like at the moment? Each of us, what does that look like? And the church, what does that look like? It would be great if all we had to do was speak our truth and then clear off and get involved in any sort of dissolute behaviour. But that's not how it is. What is our life saying? And maybe, just maybe, we need to be brave enough to reach out. And maybe someone needs to hear from us. Amen.
So let us pray. So we pray for the leaders of the nations, that they would be wise and just and compassionate, and that they would exercise their authority well. That all leaders would discern the way forward amid the difficult social and economic challenges of the pandemic. We pray for a smooth and just rolling out of vaccine programs around the world. For those who are vulnerable, for those who mistrust the vaccine, for those for whom it has come too late. We pray for the families and friends of all ministering to the dying and to the bereaved. We pray for those who feel overwhelmed, overcome by the additional pressures of homeschooling, or being away from their friends. For those whose relationships are at breaking point. We pray for those who've lost their lives to depression, and for their families and friends, and for all whose lives are blighted by anxiety and stress. And for the health services and charities trying to support them. Lord, we pray. We pray for the church around the world and for Kingston United Reformed Church. We pray for creative ways to serve and to share, for courage and integrity as we listen and pray, and for urgency and daring as we respond to the needs around us. And in the silence, we pray for those people and situations that are a heavy burden to us. Pray for those who have no one else to pray for them. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayer. we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be anxious and start scribbling. I will send you round these notices, and if I don't have your contacts, could you send them to me and I will put you on the list. Scribbling in the sense of taking down the dates and the times. If you know somebody who you think has always sort of half talked about church, this might be a good time to be brave enough to invite them. Because they can come on, they can not, they don't have to put up their picture, they can just have the church playing in the background while they do whatever they do. It's a very, very low step. Maybe this is a time to be brave. Do it. As you know, we are a bereaved people at this time. And of course, when it comes to the funerals that we're waiting for. Numbers will be limited. So we're going to gather on Zoom to remember Anne Mackay and Nigel Tunley this week. Anne Zoom will be on the 4th at 5 and Nigel's will be on the 5th at 5. And I invite you to tell anybody who knew either of them and invite them to come. And we'll get organised with the Zoom and I'll send that out as another reminder to invite you to come. Once the funerals are set up and organised, they will be streamed and Anne's will be on February, Thursday the 11th at 12:20 and Nigel's Monday the 15th at 11:20. And that will be streamed so you can be a part of it though remotely. Today's worship continues at 3:30 with Messy Church at Home. If you want more information, or you think of anybody else who might want more information, then please get in touch with Sally and she'll give you the Zoom details. It's our usual practice as we move into one of the seasons to go for 24 hours of prayer. These are fantastic, refreshing times. I know you're all thinking, wow, that's so hot. No, it's not. It's just a blissful time. If you can come and be a part of it, even for a short time. At this point, we're expecting that it will all be on Zoom. You can chug in and out of it. We do have stories from the last time of somebody with their jammers on and falling asleep. But, you know, that's the real world. You know, that's absolutely fine. So it will be on from Friday the 19th at 6 in the morning, right the way through to Saturday at 6. If you would be prepared to lead for an hour, please send me a message. If you could think, well, I could do 15 minutes, but no, just do it. Be brave, do it. Or if you think, well, I couldn't lead it, but I do think we should be praying for, again, send it to me. I'll be glad to hear. What should we be praying about? If there is anything at this time that you could do with a conversation with somebody, a prayer about it, or you think, you know what would really help me would be, I know you're all clever enough to work stuff out for yourself, but if there's things that the church could do to help you, please let us know and we will do our best. One of the things that we know we need to do is, one, have some fun. We need to have fun because it's all a bit white knuckle. So on Tuesday, the 16th, we're going to gather on Zoom to make pancakes. It's Shrove Tuesday, which I prefer to call with the name that's known in Latin America, which is Fat Tuesday. Much more interesting than a pancake. I think you'll all agree. And Janine is going to cook pancakes. We're all going to watch her. We're all going to cook pancakes. We're going to eat them. Hurrah! So that will start at 5 o'clock. We might play some games. We might see how we go. We might chop up some kimchi and put it in our pancake. So that will be, please come. I'm now going to move to dedicate our offering. And remember, as the work of the church goes on, so that is a call for financial resources for all of us. So have a look at how you're giving and what you're giving. And now I will dedicate the money and I will dedicate the bread and the wine. So let us pray. To the God of us all, the God who gives and wills all people freedom, we pray that our daily giving and receiving may be like our offering, not from tired habit or empty duty alone, but prompted and steered by celebration, and known through our bodies and through our money and through these gifts of bread and wine, that all would be symbols of the love of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello, I don't know how much of that you heard. Let's try that again. Hey, I tell you what, this whole thing's aging me. Do not come to this table proudly, but remembering the humility of Christ. Do not come to assert your own righteousness, but to remember that Christ died for all our sin. Do not come with any display of your own strength, but to comprehend his weakness. Do not come for your own ends, but hungering and thirsting to do what God requires. Come and be filled with living bread. Come in faith and never thirst again. And listen for these words. Before he was given up to death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God and said to his disciples, "Take this cup. It represents the new relationship between God and humanity sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember, I am with you." So he took bread and he took wine and he gave thanks. So let us pray. Loving God, living God, in joyful duty we join in the praise of the church in the world, in all its members who have triumphed before us. And we give you thanks and praise as we remember through the breaking of bread our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself to the church. We remember his creative love. We remember his sorrow and humiliation. We remember his silence broken by the agony of death. We rejoice in his resurrection. We acknowledge joyfully his living presence with us and look forward eagerly to his triumphant return in us. Till then, we will praise you all the time, wherever we are, through the things we say, through the things we refrain from saying, through the lives that we live, through the joy that we share. We will praise you here and everywhere, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. So it was in the face of death that the Lord Jesus took bread and took wine. He blessed it, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, you have come into our darkness to be with us forever, so that the light never leaves our eyes and hope never leaves our hearts. Do not let your joy die in us, but let it be constantly renewed, like the rising sun, until we gather in perfect light, tasting the fullness of love and coming with you into the presence of our Creator, where we shall live and share God's life with all humanity forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn. I haven't got my order of service here because I've moved. Is it Thine Be the Glory, Martin? Is it? I can't hear you, man.
Thy hand, O God, has guided.
Thy hand, O God. And I guess this is your work, John Fisher, was it? You found it in the archives? No? Who found it in the archives? John Watts? Yeah, it was you. See? Listen. John Fisher. Thank you very much, John. It was found in the archives, and this is the version of this that was recorded when we celebrated the fact that the building was 100 years old. Some of the language has moved on, but you're clever enough to change it and make it inclusive. But that's what we're joining with as we sing today. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
and a prayer as we leave. Almighty God, be with us this week. Meet with us each morning and in every situation throughout the day, whoever we are with, whoever we are separate from. Help us to draw on your strength and wisdom that we may be faithful and true in following the example and pattern given to us by Jesus. Amen. So come on, we haven't done this in ages. I invite you to unmute yourselves and we will say the grace together. And then we will go into breakout rooms. Those of you who can bear to hang around with the rest of us, it'd be great to have a chat. And if you can't bear to be in a breakout room, phone somebody up. So we say,
may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, forever and evermore.
Amen. Happy Sunday, everyone.
God bless you. Have a good Sunday. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Sharon. Stick around for the breakout rooms. Remember, you're unmuted. Please do not swear.
Well, very well said, bro. Yeah. Love it. They are still.
Just leave.
Somebody's name at the beginning.
Sorry, yes, slowly.
They never mentioned during the service. My name is.